Welcome to Glassbreakers Cafe, the podcast where we meet with impactful leaders to get their wisdom and insight on the future, leadership, and career development. Our goal is to inspire you and empower you to live an unlimited and smart future by breaking free from limiting beliefs, firefighting, and the invisible walls of our society. I'm your host, Cindy Mongeni, Future of Work expert, diversity accelerator, executive coach, and international speaker. Welcome to Glassbreakers Cafe, a podcast where we meet with impactful leaders to get their wisdom and insight on the future, inclusive leadership, and career development. Our special guest today is Ms. Anne McNeil, the CEO of MCO Construction and Services. Welcome, Anne, and thanks for spending this time with us today.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very excited to be here and cannot wait to get started.
Awesome. Anne, you are the CEO of MCO Construction Services, but you are also at the forefront of many organizations and many businesses. So could you please give us a brief overview of your different role across all those organizations so the audience can know you better?
Absolutely, it'll be my pleasure. To start a little with my story and then the companies because they are connected. In 1979, December 31st, I picked up my first copy of Thinking Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And from reading the book, formed the International Mastermind Association. And through that created the MCO Construction. Now the International Mastermind Association, which I'm the founder of, the idea is to create best practices for masterminders. And so I wrote a book entitled How to Start and Run an Effective Mastermind Group. And then another book, which is a workbook dealing with the 10 areas of the life. And so we have literally helped hundreds of mastermind groups across the world to create best practices. Then that leads me to one of the things that came out of that experience as a masterminder and looking to make more money. I realized that the construction industry for a Black female young person at the time in the 1970s was an excellent opportunity. And so I started MCO Construction. And from MCO Construction, working on major programs and major projects, mostly billion-dollar programs, I began to realize that I was helping my clients with the supply chain area that I had not looked at as a separate cost center. And that is helping my clients with consulting them through outreach, monitoring, and compliance services. And eventually I started that company over 20 years ago. And of course, as a professional speaker, from always sharing my best practices on how to niche to be rich, if you will, and also investing and teaching people how to analyze stocks and how to invest as a volunteer, people would always ask me to come and share and to speak. And then I began to learn that people don't, you know, people basically relate to you based upon who they know you to be. And until I created a speaking business, people did not relate to me as a professional speaker that they should pay to speak. Mm. And so I started constructively speaking about 15 years ago. And then in the midst of all of that, I realized that as I would travel around the world in the construction industry and work on major programs, such as the Miami Airlines Arena, the Miami Airport, Atlanta Airport, Houston Airport, and many of our ports in the state of Florida, I realized I don't see very many people that look like me. And attending many conferences, I didn't see many people who look like me. And so I just started collecting information from Black women and eventually started the National Association of Black Women in Construction about 12 or 13 years ago. And right now we're in about 15 cities and looking at a couple of countries. So those are the five businesses. And then finally, the most interesting one of all of them is the fact that I provide a monitoring and compliance services for public sector agencies and private sector organizations that work on public sector land, because oftentimes they are required to meet certain goals and do community outreach and the monitoring of those services and work with small businesses. So I am a small business, and I figured who better than me to help my clients provide that service. And so I started that business also. So those are the five businesses. And then of course, I volunteer with NSA, of course, too.
This is awesome. Like, one day we will do a podcast on how you manage your time to do all of this. Like a small businesses, but you are having a big impact in all those five areas.
Exactly.
So this is amazing. And you mentioned in your introduction that you saw an opportunity in the construction industry in the 70s. But today, the construction industry is not diverse. So it was even less diverse what you studied. So we could have thought that this was not a friendly environment, but you saw it as an opportunity. So could you a bit explain more what brought you, what you see in this industry? Because for me, I think as a Black woman, you must have faced challenges along the way. So I would love to get your thoughts on this. What brought you, what did you see challenges when you've entered the construction industry?
Well, one of my favorite authors by the name of Charlie Tremendous Jones says that we will be the same in 5 years as we are today, except for two things. And those two things are the people we meet and the books we read. And so from reading on an average of 20, 30 books a year in different industries and different areas, I began to realize that just because I am small did not mean I need to think small. Just because I am small did not mean I needed to think small. And so what I began to do is I began to go where the large firms would go. I began to go where the agencies and my clients would go. I began to attend the conferences that they attend. I began to read the books that they would read. I began to go to the workshops that they would go to. I began to attend the chambers and the national, whether it's the national counties and the national mayors or the national, city commissioners conferences and all those. And it gave me a larger vision, not just of myself, but of the impact that I could make in using my imagination and my creativity to build something that would be of value to my clients. And it was always client driven. In other words, I saw that there were opportunities for growth. And I think the Chinese word they say for crisis is really an opportunity if you just turn it. And I just began to learn how to turn what most people see as a challenge or problem or struggle. I began to learn how to turn it with a positive mental attitude to turn it into something that was beneficial for myself and also beneficial to my clients. And so that's why for me, I don't really see the construction industry as a problem. I see it as an opportunity for growth.
This is fantastic. And this is part of what I was going to ask you also, because, and this is not going to be a secret, because I think I saw it on your website or your LinkedIn. You've been successful. You're a successful businesswoman who have a proven track record of making millions of dollars in different businesses. So what were those key elements or defining moments? Because for what you mentioned in the first two questions, I took note of the mastermind, the book of Think and Grow Rich, being in the room where bigger people, or bigger, as you say, maybe bigger, but they're not really bigger because we are all people, but the positioning of being in this room reading. So what else, how would you explain? It seems also your perspective, you don't see it as a challenges, but as an opportunity. So lead us to your way of thinking to be able, because you are not born in a rich family and now you make those millions. So how was this process of transformation and being today a successful Black woman, not only in the construction industry, but in several organizations?
Yes, I wrote a book entitled A Daily Date with Myself. It's basically a journal. And it was really out of reading Think and Grow Rich and some other books and just doing some daily exercises to work on my own self-confidence. And I gave a speech for the AIA Association. This is a professional organization for architects. And in that speech, I talked about the benefits of being a diverse person in an all-white environment and really profiting from that in terms of a larger vision. And what it looks like is this. I am from West Palm Beach, Florida, and I commuted to Miami to work, but I left the city to come to Miami because of being Black and a female and not many opportunities. In other words, I went to where the business was. Mm. It was in Miami, which was very diverse at the time. And this is in the 70s and 80s. In the process of doing that and aligning myself with others who were working on billion-dollar programs, multi-million-dollar contracts, and then I would go back home. Well, over the years, my self-confidence grew, my self-image grew, and my ability to learn how to niche, to be rich, if you will, in my industry grew. So then when I began to look at opportunities in my city, they began to look very small to me, you see. When I started, they looked very large. Largest project in my city may have been $50 or $100 million. Largest project in Miami at the time could be $1 billion, $2 or $3 billion. And so just that mindset shift to understand that another favorite book that I really enjoy is entitled Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell. And basically he shares a story. He says, you know, you travel all around the world looking for diamonds when in fact the diamonds you seek are found within you.
Nice.
Okay. And he tells a story. And every time I would read that book, I think to myself, wow, you know, I'm leaving my diamond find, which is in my backyard, which is at home. Maybe I should begin to look at more opportunities in my own city. And the point I'm making in sharing this story is that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, as long as you have great clarity about whose you are, and what you desire, the opportunity for growth is within you to achieve anything. And so that's what I saw for myself. And eventually, as I began to achieve a little greater skill and a better attitude and a better vision, not just for myself, but for other people, I began to serve more and to give more, you know. And in the process of doing that, I then began to realize what I needed to do was to build an organization and then another organization and then another organization where people that relate to that could enter into. And I don't want to skip to the end of the question that you're going to ask me about the superpower. So I don't know if you want to do that now or do it later, but can I go there now?
If you want, go there and share what would be like the superpowers that you would like to have.
Okay, if I had a superpower and I really could have a magic wand, if you will, I would wave the wand to encourage people to ask for guidance. Another one of my favorite books is Ogmandino's Scrolls. And scroll number 10 is a prayer. And the prayer is actually about not asking for any material thing, not gold or silver, not houses or cars, not money or clothes, but to ask for guidance. And I share that as a magic wand. If I could, you know, wave this wand and have do anything, I really would like to encourage everybody, ask for guidance. Because when you ask for guidance and you have a desire for something, you're often guided in a way to achieve it. But oftentimes we look past the guidance looking for the stuff,
yes,
or the person or the thing, and not realizing the greatest gift you can have is the growth. It's the inner growth. So that's what my magic wand would do. It would be, you know, to wave a wand over everyone and to encourage us all to just pray for guidance versus things.
This is fantastic. And to your point, also like Solomon's prayer when he became king, he asked for wisdom. He didn't
ask knowledge and understanding. Yes.
Yeah. He didn't ask, as you were saying, he didn't ask for riches, didn't ask for gold and silver. And he became the richest man on earth.
Exactly.
But he asked for wisdom. So I love it.
Exactly.
So a lot of nuggets. I hope like the audience is taking note of all the books. And also I will remind them to look also for your own books and all those notes on mindset, being the room, and really changing your perspective. But Anne, you are successful in something that we didn't mention because we didn't go through your whole life. But at some point, you were like homeless.
Of course, it's
really a remarkable story from being homeless and being like this successful woman who is now inspiring others to thrive. But let's be honest, Anne, even if you mentioned like your way of life is not to look at challenges, but to look at the opportunities. The construction industry is still not diverse. I imagine there was like progress between the 70s and now, but we still have few women and few Black women who are as successful as you are. So what are like the challenges that the construction industry is facing to accelerate to have like more diversity in this industry, and especially for women and Black women? What are the stopping blocks?
Well, I think one of the challenges is workforce and small businesses. And this is one of the reasons why I created the organization called the National Association of Black Women in Construction. And the listeners, you know, that's interested in that, you can go to NABWIC.org, National Association of Black Women in Construction. And so, Cindy, I don't really look at the challenges, I look for the opportunities. And so going to your question about the lack of diversity and the lack of Blacks and the lack of opportunities, I look within and say, how can I create more diverse people in the industry? How can I create opportunities? And again, going back to the book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, I read about Charles Schwab, who worked for Andrew Carnegie. Carnegie paid him $70,000 as a salary, but he paid him $1 million as a bonus. And Schwab came up with this billion-dollar idea to convince Andrew Carnegie to pull together all of the small manufacturers of steel and create what we now know as U.S. Steel. But I read that, I thought to myself, I said, you know, I could do the same thing in the construction industry. I could pull together the billion-dollar organizations and create, instead of a dinner, I could create a luncheon. And so for the last 3 years, I've been hosting a billion-dollar luncheon in the construction industry by industry. So 1 month we would do water, 1 month we would do aviation, or 1 month transit, 1 month healthcare, 1 month facilities, and so on, ports and different things like that. And it has been phenomenal, phenomenal, where I bring the agencies, the engineering firms, the architects, the contractors, and the small businesses, and the youth, and those who are the least, the lost, and the unconcerned. I bring us all together through our National Association of Black Women in Construction for lunch on Zoom. And we have the agency bring their billion-dollar programs and share with everybody on Zoom. So those are the kind of activities that I've created from my imagination. And we go back to the book again, my creative imagination, and then pulling together a group of people, we'll call it a mastermind group, to help implement this process. And literally when I share with people, they say, well, how do you do it? I say, listen, we're in 15 cities right now as an organization, and we're Black women, we're white women, we're white men, we are made up of everybody, but we're all underneath one umbrella, and that's what makes the difference. Because you see, everybody goes to their own professional whatever. You know, speakers meet with speakers, meeting planners meet with meeting planners, owners meet with owners, contractors meet with contractors, architects meet with architects, you know, the engineers have their engineering association, and so on. But there's no place where we all come together underneath one roof, and that's what I've created as a opportunity, if you will, to close the gap with those, with, you know, with the browning of America and bringing people together who don't look like each other. But this is what we want to understand. Construction has no color. Mm. It has no color. And water, basically, you know, transportation, all of these industries, they have no color.
Yes, it's true.
There's no color to them. There's no feeling. They just are. And so when we think about how we enter into the struggles and the challenges that exist in the industry, there's problems in the aging of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. There's aging of the manpower.
Mm-hmm.
The technology, we can't keep up with it. It's changing so fast. And construction, you know, from AI, I mean, from, you know, BIM, AI, all of these different technologies. And then there's the human factor, if you will, the mindset. You know, oh, I don't look like you, you don't look like me, but we're really one in this industry. That's my point. And when we come together to build anything, we have to leave all of those things outside the door, because we're here on one accord to build. And so I just think that it's an excellent opportunity to bridge the gap if we each look for a way to make that possible. And that's what I enjoy doing, creating an opportunity to grow.
Yes, and what I love, because what really you've been building is the ecosystem. Because yes. At the end, this is what we need. We need like an ecosystem to flourish. And this is exactly what you've been doing, and to take like an active role, to not just say, okay, there is an issue, but let's be the change, as Mahatma Gandhi was saying, like be the change you want to see in the world.
Exactly.
So I love it. And also, Anne, you were mentioning those like critical trends, because the podcast is about the future, inclusive leadership and career development. Because as a future of work expert, I'm like really into like preparing leaders and organizations to strive in the future. And you mentioned like two critical trends, the aging of the infrastructure. For this reason, we know also today there is like this big plan from the president to invest in infrastructure, and the aging of the workforce, because the younger generation is not so attracted to the construction industry. And so my question is, those are the issue, and what are the trends? Because at this moment, every industry, every organization is being transformed or disrupted by technology, as you were mentioning. So what are like those trends that you are seeing that could transform or disrupt the construction industry, and you are getting ready and getting ready with your ecosystem to thrive and to still be a winner in the next decade?
What we're actually doing is we're getting ahead of it. And the way we're getting ahead of it, I have water clients, I have aviation clients, and I'm members of the association, National Association for Both. And so I've sat down with my client and we've discussed what are their problems. And as they share what their problems are, we help them create an opportunity to alleviate the problem with a strategic plan. But it's a collective conversation. And so that is what I'm finding has been a phenomenal opportunity to first start the conversation. And that's just been phenomenal.
Perfect. I love it. And my last question, because like for my audience, I always ask at the end, like this dreaming question. So it was like the superpower. You've been sharing your superpower of encouraging people to really look for guidance. So we are going to come to an end to our time together, but I really want to recap, and I hope like the audience have been taking note, because there was like great nuggets in terms of how we approach challenges, how we stay ahead of the curve, because we can all see those trends and the signals, the personal work that you've been doing, and also that the action, like you move from where you were, your city, and to go where the opportunity is, because sometimes people don't want that to do the work in themselves. And you mentioned a lot about growth. So I really took like a lot of notes, and I was like super excited by the interview, and I'm not disappointed, because I receive a lot from your wisdom. So thank you very much, Anne, for sharing this time with me and my audience today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Glass Breakers Cafe, please subscribe and share with your friends on social media. Also, be sure to follow me, your host, Cindy Mongenet, on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If there is any special guest or special topic you would like us to address, please drop me a note at cindy@newskiesnation.com. Thanks a lot for joining us today. And remember, no one can predict the future, but we still need to prepare for it. See you next week.